If you're a terrorist and you listen to this podcast, I have one message for you. You're done. It's over, okay? You're canceled. I just canceled you, okay? No more killing people. No more of that shit, all right? It's over. So if you're listening to this, I just want to let you know that your time's up and you've officially been canceled. Welcome, everybody, to the Class Act Podcast. It is early Friday morning on May the 17th, the year of our Lord, 2019. There's a lot of sports that have gone on since I last did a podcast a few weeks ago. We now are in the conference finals stage of the NBA playoffs between the Blazers and the Warriors and the Raptors and the Bucks. Just last night, the Warriors ended up winning Game 2 to take a 2-0 lead in the series over the Trailblazers, and the Trailblazers fucking choked. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to burst out like that, but it's just very frustrating for me as a person who hates the Warriors. In other words, the Bucks have a 1-0 lead over the Raptors in the Eastern Conference, but really, the big story, I think really all playoffs, especially recently, is the fact that Kevin Durant got hurt in Game 5 against the Rockets, and the Rockets had every chance possible to knock the Warriors out, and they fucking blew it. And this is what teams do against the Warriors. It seems like every team besides the 2016 Cavaliers just fucking vomit all over themselves whenever they have to play against the Warriors in the playoffs over the last 5 years. I don't know what it is, but that's what Houston did last year. If you were Houston, you know, you didn't have Chris Paul, and that was a legit excuse. You didn't have Chris Paul last year. That's why you blew the 3-2 lead. I still think that losing a Game 7 that you had a double-digit lead at halftime with at home, I don't think that there's an excuse for that, but there was still, you know, but losing Chris Paul, it was a legitimately big blow for the Rockets last year. But this year, the series is tied 2-2. You have Steph Curry playing like crap. Steph Curry basically played like dog shit for the entire series against the Rockets, except for the second half of Game 6. Okay, so at halftime of Game 5, the Warriors are ahead by 14, despite Steph Curry being like 2-for-8 from the field and having no impact on the game. And Durant was rolling along. Durant's having, you know, another great game. And then he gets hurt and he strains his calf. I personally think that it's something worse than that because, you know, I think the Warriors are trying to be sneaky with it. And even just tonight, Steve Kerr came out and said it's a little more serious than we originally thought. Now, like I said, today is the 17th of May. The NBA Finals don't start till May 30th. So KD, regardless of how this Blazers series ends, is going to have about 2 more weeks before the finals start. And really, look, the Warriors are going to beat the Blazers. The Blazers had a legitimate chance tonight. They had a legitimate chance. They had a fucking 8-point lead with like 4.5 minutes left, and they fucking blew it. And they fucking vomited all over themselves. And, you know, this was their chance to kind of make this an interesting series. Now, I think they can take a game at home, but, I mean, they completely shit their pants. They bricked wide open shots. They it seems like they've never defended a pick and roll before. Now, I mean, I'll at least give them the fact that they adjusted from Game 1 when they just fucking let Steph Curry take wide open 3-pointers all game. So, you know, their defensive game plan in Game 2 wasn't quite as bad as it was in the first game. But still, you know, the Blazers, I mean, everybody who knows basketball understands that the real conference finals was Rockets versus Warriors. And when the Rockets fucking shit their pants in the fourth quarter of Game 5 and in Game 6, where there was no Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry was scoreless for the entire first half of that game, and it was tied at halftime. Okay? So, this is, and I know, I'm, and ever since the second half of Game 6, Steph Curry has woken up out of his slump, and he's played like a superstar. He's played like the superstar that he's supposed to be. And, predictably, he's getting just a ridiculous amount of love from the media, and the media is saying, Oh, God, I can't believe all you Steph haters. Why, you know, how are all you Steph haters feeling now, huh? You know, look, Steph Curry isn't above getting slandered for playing like shit. And he played like shit for basically almost a month, okay? Like, there, I struggled to name other superstars who can go, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 games in a row in the playoffs without having a great game and their team still winning. So Steph has that luxury. And when you give a player that's a superstar like Steph, Steph's one of the greatest players of all time, but he's pampered and he's babied by the media, and that's my biggest problem with him, is eventually if you give a superstar enough chances, eventually they're going to, you know, they're going to play up to their standard. And that's what Steph's been doing ever since Kevin Durant went out. Now, I think the fact that Steph has been playing much better since Durant got injured is not, the optics aren't very good for Durant because it's making it seem like he was holding Curry back. I personally don't buy that. I think that Steph was just, he was just shitting his pants. He wasn't being aggressive. He was bricking shots that he should have made. And I think now, you know, it's kind of regressing to the mean. So, but my point is, and this is the thing that I think a lot of people don't understand about my frustration with Steph, is that Warriors fans are fucking insufferable. They're fucking dweebs. And the more they win, the more insufferable they get. And they're most insufferable about Steph Curry. And they have a very, very cultish-like fascination with Steph Curry. It's a lot like Kobe, with that weird cultish fan base who thinks that their favorite player literally cannot do any wrong, and when he does play like crap, it's Steve Kerr's fault, or it's Kevin Durant's fault, or he's hurt, or he has a sore finger, or this and that, or the other thing. And the only difference is that Steph isn't a rapist like Kobe is. But Warriors fans are fucking insufferable about it. And now that Steph is going to win his 4th ring this year, and that's more than LeBron, and I'm a LeBron fan. Look, this is where, I know every single podcast I have, I talk about LeBron, and a lot of people are like, God, you're such a fucking loser. You talk about LeBron nonstop, blah, 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 blah. Well, LeBron's my favorite athlete. LeBron's my favorite athlete, and there are some personal things that go into why he's my favorite athlete, because he helped me watching him play. I know this sounds corny, but watching him play and watching LeBron overcome all the haters and things like that, when he was still trying to get his first ring back in Miami, I was in a tough spot in my life at that particular time. And I looked at LeBron and saw what he was going through in terms of his profession and how everybody was doubting him and calling him a choker and basically, you know, decrying his manhood. And I was like, you know what, I like this guy. And so he's my favorite athlete, and following him as much as I followed him throughout the years and knowing how great he is, that's why, you know, I support LeBron. I think to this day the hate that he gets is the most ridiculous and irrational hate that I've ever seen any athlete get, let alone an athlete that's never broken the law. And we all know that Warriors fans have a special hatred for LeBron for obvious reasons. And so I get annoyed when, as a LeBron fan, you have to hear about how Steph's gravity. And, you know, you hear all these people and all the media just pamper Steph. And when you see, it's like Steph has had, you know, he's got a silver spoon in his mouth. You know, he's basically was born on third base. And it's kind of like that with his NBA career, too, where he has a luxury of not, he doesn't have to play like a superstar for his team to win. He doesn't have to. And as a LeBron fan who's watched LeBron carry horrible teams and win games that he had no business winning strictly off the back of his talents, to see Steph kind of just waltz to these titles and then have to listen to the media and Steph's cultish fan base just pop him up and pump him up even more, it's annoying to me. It's annoying, and I like to call it out. And do I go too far sometimes obsessing over Steph? I mean, I don't know. I think everything I say about Steph is true. Everything I say about Steph is true. It's factually true. And so, I mean, people may not like it. They may call me, you know, they may say I'm a crybaby or whatever. I mean, but, you know, what I say about Steph is true. And, you know, and it pisses me off as a LeBron fan who has to listen to LeBron get criticized for losing final series where he put up absolutely monstrous numbers, and then listen to Steph Curry apologists turn around and say, why are you making fun of Steph for having a bad game? Why are you blah, blah, blah? It's just, it's different standards. And again, I talk about this a lot. It's different standards. And Steph is one of the greatest basketball players I've ever seen. And he's one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And I said it on Twitter. I said, I've never seen a player who can just go off for like 20 points in a 4 to 5 minute stretch like Steph can. But again, and I'm going to keep repeating it, as time goes on, context gets lost. And I want to make sure that I keep in the forefront how much better Steph has it for winning titles than LeBron had it for winning titles. And all the breaks that he's gotten that LeBron didn't get. And the fact that he can miss playoff series and his team can win without him. And the fact that he can go entire halves without scoring a point and his team can be in the game. The fact that he can shoot 2 of 8 in the first half of a game and his team can still be ahead by 14. The fact that he can shoot 3 of 14 in a playoff game like he did against the Clippers in the first round and still see his team win. Things like that are what annoy me and get lost as time goes on about context. Context matters when you're talking about rings, especially in a team sport. And it's a shame to me that LeBron is only going to end up with 3 rings because he's the best basketball player that I've ever seen. It's a shame that he isn't in the playoffs this year because I feel like no matter what anybody says, I think there's an element missing to it that just isn't there with LeBron. LeBron just generates so much. He moves the needle more than really any other athlete for their sport does, with the exception of Tiger Woods. And that's just my thoughts on it. And I understand that, you know, people who are listening to this are probably sick of me talking about LeBron, but, you know, it's the NBA playoffs. LeBron is the most famous NBA player in the world, and people love to compare athletes and players. And when I see people start to talk about, and this is what I've kind of made fun of on Twitter, is how there's kind of like a new best player in the world, it seems like every other night now. Whichever player has the best game that particular night is now the best player in the world. The media was pumping up Kevin Durant as the best player in the world early in the playoffs when he was going on these ridiculous tears. They moved back to Giannis when he had a few big games against the Celtics in the second round. They went to Kawhi when he was on fire against the Sixers when he made that game-winning shot. Now the last three or so games, the last 2.5 games, Steph has been going off. Now he's the best player in the world, and it's just funny. It's like a musical chairs, and I just want to make sure that LeBron isn't being forgotten about. And that might seem childish, and would my life be better off if I wasn't such a sports fan? Yeah, I'd think so. But you know what? Life isn't perfect. The worst people seem to win. The Patriots win. The Warriors win. The Red Sox win. The Bruins are going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't give a shit about hockey, but still, that kind of pisses me off anyway. I took a little solace in the fact that the Celtics got their ass kicked by the Milwaukee Bucks, so thank you for that, Milwaukee, because I hate seeing Boston sports teams win. But it's been a rough few years for me as a person who hates the Patriots and Warriors, considering that it seems like, especially over the last, really, 3 years, it's been Patriots have won 2 Super Bowls. The Warriors are about to three-peat. The only good moment for me was when the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year as an Eagles fan. So that was a little bit of that was the only good time. That was really the only time over the last 3 or so years as a sports fan where I've actually felt joy watching sports. And yet I often ask myself, I'm like, why do I care? Like, why do I care? Why do I obsess so much about certain things? Like, why do I care so much about how Steph Curry plays? Like, why do I care about LeBron being the best player in the world? Like, LeBron doesn't know I exist, or maybe he does. Maybe he's seen one of my tweets. I don't know. If he has, and he's listening to this podcast, what's going on, LeBron? But he probably hasn't. He doesn't know I exist, probably. Like, why do I give a shit? Like, why? And that's just the way my mind works. And for some things, that's good. For other reasons, it's annoying because it just, I get into these modes where it's like, it's the only thing I can think about. It's all I can think about, and it just revolves around it. And it's just, that's the way my mind works. And, you know, it stinks sometimes, but there are moments like the 2016 finals where, when the ball bounces your way, where there's just nothing like it. And there's no other feeling of joy as a fan that you can get. So there, you know, that's a little bit of insight into my mind. But you know, I think not to get too deep and philosophical here on the Class Act podcast, or the CAP, as the kids are calling it nowadays. You know, I think going back, the thing about this podcast is that there's really no set. I don't have a set topic list. I kind of just go, you know, off on tangents whenever I feel like talking about. And so, you know, like I'll be talking about one thing and then I'll kind of diverge away from that and then I'll go back to it for no reason. And that's really what I'm doing right now when I'm talking about Kevin Durant and the Warriors and Steph Curry and how it holds up against LeBron and this and that and the other thing. And for me personally, I hope that Kevin Durant comes back and, well, I mean, my pipe dream, like it's a pipe dream for me is that the Bucks beat the Raptors, which, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals is basically a toss-up in my opinion. I think that the Bucks are a deeper team, and Giannis hasn't even really been at his best half the time in the playoffs, and the Bucks are still 9-1. I mean, the Bucks are a monster. I think that series will go six. I think the Bucks win that series in six. So I think the Bucks are going to go to the finals, and they're going to have to play against the Warriors. And as everybody knows, I'm a notorious Steph Curry Finals MVP jokester. And I said on my last episode of this podcast, I said I would never say another bad word about the Warriors if they beat a healthy finals opponent with just Steph, Clay, and Draymond. So I'm hoping that Kevin Durant comes back for the finals, because I still think that his injury is more serious than the Warriors are leading on. But as I mentioned earlier in this podcast, we're still about 2 weeks away from the finals, so he has some time to heal up. But I think just matchup wise, I mean, for me, like, no, before I go into the matchup wise of the possible finals showdown, I mean, I think I wasn't expecting Kevin Durant to get hurt and miss extended time and possibly the finals when I said that. So I'm officially retracting it, because fuck the Warriors, okay? Fuck the Warriors. They wouldn't have even made the finals without Kevin Durant going off early in the playoffs. They wouldn't have beaten Houston several times. They certainly wouldn't have beaten the Clippers a couple times without Durant going supernova. So I'm officially rescinding that statement that I made in a prior podcast. I'm now saying that the Warriors, I will never say another bad thing about the Warriors if they win an NBA Finals series against a healthy opponent in a season where they don't have Kevin Durant on the team. And that's my official statement now. I'm not taking that back. And I know in the last episode I said hand to God and this and that, but God isn't real, so that doesn't even matter. Anyways, back to the matchups of the possible finals matchups between what I think is going to be the finals matchup between Milwaukee and Golden State. I think, like, this Milwaukee is like one of the rare teams. And the thing now in the media is the Warriors don't need Kevin Durant. And I mean, that's true for a lot of teams. But the reason the Warriors got Kevin Durant back in 2016 was to break up Oklahoma City, which was their biggest rival at the time, and to combat LeBron James in the finals. And that's what they needed Kevin Durant for. And this year's version of LeBron is going to be Giannis. So if they can get a player, if Durant comes back, they have somebody to match up with Giannis, or at least kind of play Giannis to a stalemate, and that's important for them. Against Portland, against the Trailblazers, they don't need Kevin Durant. Just like they don't need Kevin Durant to win against a lot of teams, but they needed Kevin Durant against LeBron in the last two finals, more so in 2017 because the Cavaliers team last year was absolutely horrendous, but you know, they're going to need Kevin Durant to go against Giannis. And but ever since Durant's gone down, you know, Draymond Green's been playing great all playoffs. Steph Curry's picked up his play. Believe me, the media is not letting us forget about that. And they won't shut the fuck up about him playing against his brother Seth. And they won't fucking stop talking about his dad and his mom and what jerseys they're wearing. It's so fucking corny. I'm sick of Steph Curry and I'm sick of the Curry family. go away, please. I know they're not going to, but just go the fuck away. And the media, just shut the fuck up about it, please. It's so insufferable. It's absolutely insufferable. It's way worse than a tough scene. But getting back to the finals, I think that there would be a legitimate... I think the Bucks are a legitimate... they're legit. And I think if Kevin Durant is hurt, or if he's not at 100%, which it looks like he's not going to be 100%, I think the Bucks have really the first time since 2016 where a Warriors winning the series wouldn't be 100% certainty. So I if gun to my head, I would still say the Warriors win because they have a magic horseshoe stuck up their ass, whether it comes to opponent injuries or just opponents vomiting all over themselves when they have the Warriors with their backs against the wall. But I would have to think about it, and that's something that I haven't really had to say about any Warriors playoff series over the last 2 or 3 years. But yes, I'm still very, very pissed off that the Blazers fucking choked away an 8-point lead with 4.5 minutes left. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. Just make your open shots and learn how to defend a fucking pick and roll, for crying out loud. All right? Jesus, it's so fucking infuriating. I hate seeing the Warriors win, just like I hate seeing the Patriots win. I hate seeing people who don't deserve happiness be happy. And that's where I don't want to go off on another tangent, so I'll move on. I'll change the topic now. We can talk about Damian Lillard, who is basically a fraud. He's a playoff fraud. He's a great player in the regular season. He's had two great playoff series that ended in series-winning shots. The amazing shot he had against Paul George in the first round this year, and going back to 2014 when he hit the series winner against Houston. Outside of those two playoff series, he's been awful in the playoffs. And so far in the conference finals against the Warriors, it's really been no exception. I mean, in game two, he was okay, but he wasn't superstar. He still hasn't learned how to deal with the double teams and the traps that the Warriors throw at him. And so that's annoying. So I don't have any faith whatsoever in Damian Lillard. CJ McCollum is a good player. He's not a great player. He's not a difference maker, despite the fact that he had that great Game 7 against Denver to get to the conference finals. And the rest of their roster, the rest of Portland's roster, there's really nobody. I don't know. They just don't really match up well with Golden State. So I don't think that. I think that this is going to be a quick. I think Golden State will give a game away. Portland will win either game four or game three or four at home, but I think Golden State wins in five. We want to talk about another guard. We can talk about Kyrie Irving, who is a free agent. And everybody knows that his biggest rumored destination are the Knicks, which, you know, look, and this goes for Kevin Durant too. People are talking about the Knicks, and I could definitely eat shit for this, because when, you know, June 30th comes, which is now the new first day that you can, which players can, you know, that's the day the free agency starts now. They changed it. When June 30th comes, or July 1st, or whatever, and free agency officially begins, and if Durant and Kyrie end up signing with the Knicks, I'm going to eat a whole bunch of shit. But in my entire lifetime, which is like 25 years now, because my birthday was a few days ago, I'm 25 now, yay. Anyway, in my entire lifetime, I can't remember any one thing going good for the Knicks. And the draft lottery was another example of that. Just a few days ago, the Knicks tanked and they ended up with the fourth overall pick. They didn't even get a third. They didn't even get a top three pick. So when people were talking about the Knicks going to get Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, like, I just don't see it happening, because the Knicks just have horrible karma. And I said this in a tweet that actually got posted in the New York Post, not to brag, was that the world would be a much better place if the Patriots and Warriors had the Knicks karma. And it's true, because the Knicks have, like, the worst karma of any sports team that I can think of in professional sports. And so I have no... I don't see Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant going to the Knicks. When it comes to Kyrie, I think that... I'm not going to pretend to know what's in Kyrie's mind, because Kyrie's a weird dude. He's a guy who apologized to a woman for cheating on him, which I lost a lot of respect for Kyrie when he did that, because you got to hold these bitches in line. Know what I'm saying, Holmes? Yeah. Anyway, you got to imagine, like, Kyrie. I don't even know if Kyrie knows what he's going to do. I don't try to go, you know, to be inside the mind of all these NBA players and all these free agents. I mean, I have no fucking idea what's going on. But in my opinion, I think that I would love to see him with LeBron again. I think that I still don't know why LeBron and Kyrie had to go their separate ways in Cleveland. I think that it'd be a lot better if they were both still in Cleveland, where they're both loved and where they've won a title in the most dramatic fashion in sports history. I wish that we could go back to that, but you know, life isn't just rainbows and gold unless you're the Warriors or the Patriots. Let's see, anything else? Move on to to give my final prediction. I think Kyrie will go. I don't know. I hope he goes to the Lakers, because the Lakers are just one big fucking shit show. They've somehow gotten worse since Magic Johnson, who is a complete fucking moron. They've somehow gotten worse since Magic Johnson abruptly resigned a month ago. They had a chance to press the reset button, and instead they've gone backwards. They hired Frank Vogel, and then even worse. Actually, you know, I don't mind the Frank Vogel hire itself, but the fact that they went and hired Jason Kidd, who is a domestic abuser, he's a drunk driver, and most importantly, okay, being a drunk driver and domestic abuser is one thing, but to be a horrible head coach, that's where I draw the line. And Jason Kidd is an absolutely horrible head coach, and the fucking Lakers signed him as an assistant head coach. Kidd's a known backstabber, and most importantly, the Milwaukee Bucks turned into a fucking juggernaut the second Jason Kidd left. Their first full season without Jason Kidd, they ended up becoming the best team in the NBA statistically, and Giannis ended up winning an MVP. People are like, oh, Jason Kidd helped to develop Giannis. No, I think Giannis developed in spite of Jason Kidd, because Giannis has taken another level ever since Jason Kidd left. It's kind of like the Mark Jackson thing with the Warriors. So, you know, and then so they hired him, so it's just one big shit show. I think, I hope, you know, that LeBron, if they don't get a superstar, and if they don't get another star like Anthony Davis or Kyrie or somebody, he needs to demand a trade and get the fuck out of Los Angeles, because he's not going to sniff, let alone a title. He might not even make the playoffs with the way with the Lakers are being run. So that's what's most disconcerting as a LeBron fan about that. But yeah, so fuck the Lakers. I fucking hate them. I can't wait until LeBron is no longer on their team, so I don't have to root for them anymore. I mentioned this earlier in the podcast about the Rockets, and they've given Golden State easily. They've given Golden State the easiest. I mean, not the easiest, but the most difficult test over these last two seasons by far. Took them to 7 last year and had the series tied at 2 this year before they just fucking vomited all over themselves again. I'm sorry. I don't mean to raise my voice. I just hate the Warriors, and it's just frustrating when teams have them on the ropes and they let them go and they just fuck up. And if you're Houston, I mean, look, Chris Paul's contract looks horrible. Chris Paul was not close to being the same player this year that we had really come to see. So Chris Paul's contract is really going to weigh the Rockets down. They're really tied into just a few players. So in terms of moving forward, I don't really know where the Rockets... I don't know what they do. I don't. I think that a part of me says, well, the last 2 years you've been right there with the Warriors. And another part of me says you need to do something different. And maybe that something different is they need to change their philosophy and let James Harden and let players take more mid-range shots and diversify their offense a little bit. I mean, you can still keep the core philosophy of threes and layups, but they have to sprinkle in more mid-range shots every now and then, because they're wasting... They're becoming too predictable, I think. So they have to sprinkle in some mid-range shots. They have to do something new like that. They have to change their philosophy. They have to tinker their philosophy a little bit. And that's where I stand on that. I mentioned the draft lottery. As everybody knows, the draft lottery was earlier this week. And the New Orleans Pelicans got the first overall pick.
And that's such a fucking bummer because Zion Williamson going to New Orleans, it's just boring as fuck. It's like, why? Like why are you going to New Orleans? And I want to take back my statement. I said earlier that the Knicks got the 4th overall pick. They ended up actually getting the 3rd overall pick, which in a draft that really, really falls off after the top two players in Zion and Ja Morant, that's not really good. I know, and I tweeted about this in January. I said that the Knicks are going to do all this tanking just to get, you know, like the 4th overall pick and select RJ Barrett. And I think the Knicks are going to select RJ Barrett because that's just the way they are. A black hole who stinks. RJ Barrett stinks. So that's where I go on the draft lottery. I think that Zion going to New Orleans is boring. It's just, it's not a very good market. And the question is Anthony Davis, like, what's he going to do now? Is he going to stay in New Orleans with Zion? If he did stay in New Orleans, how would he fit? How would he fit with Zion? I mean, how are you going to even repair your relationship with the Pelicans when you basically, for the second half of last season, basically were on a minutes restriction? Like, they couldn't trade him. They couldn't trade him, but he was healthy, so he couldn't sit out. So they basically just said, okay, well, you'll play 20 minutes a game, and that's the most you're going to get. Like, I don't know how you repair from that, so I think Anthony Davis is going to be gone. I think Atlanta would have been a lot of fun. Zion in Atlanta would have been fun. But New Orleans is just boring. I'm not a draft expert, but from everything that I hear, this draft after the top two players, Zion and Ja Morant, really, really drops off in terms of quality, in terms of star power. And that's where I am with it. It's also pretty amazing. I'm switching over to the NFL now. That it's been what, like 3.5 weeks since the NFL draft, the same night that we, you know, heard that we got a recording of Tyreek Hill basically threatening his baby mama on camera, on recorder. And he still hasn't been released by the Chiefs. I mean, a guy who's beat up his 3-year-old son is still, you know, a guy who choked his pregnant girlfriend a few years back. Now he's on camera. Now he's on recording, talking about, you know, punching his three-year-old son and this and that. And he still hasn't been cut yet. I mean, what the fuck? You know, the Chiefs think they're so slick with trying to get this, trying to let it die down a little bit before, see if anybody notices. I noticed, okay? Kansas City, if you're listening to this, okay, I noticed it. I think it's bullshit. And you're bullshit for keeping him on your roster. I don't give a fuck how good he is. I don't care how fast he can run. You should not keep people who beat 3-year-old kids on your team. That's just my opinion. I know that might be controversial to some people, but that's my opinion. So, that's going to do it for this podcast episode. I think, you know, it's been a tough scene for me, as I mentioned, because I hate seeing the Warriors win. I hate seeing the Patriots win. And unfortunately for me, they win a lot. So, hopefully, though, Steph Curry doesn't win Finals MVP again this year, because I want to keep those jokes going because it infuriates Warriors fans, and it's really all I have at this point. So please just Steph, if you're listening to this, please just purposely throw the finals and let Durant win it again or do something like that, because I need to. And Steph blocked me on Twitter, so I know he hates me. I know he's seen me before. He needs to stop being a little bitch. And he needs to throw the finals like he did in 2016, and so I can keep these Finals MVP jokes going. Okay, and that's the truth. This is a serious matter, and he needs to stop it. He needs to stop being selfish. He needs to stop going after individual awards and let his teammates win Finals MVP. And I stand by that statement. And also, fuck Andre Iguodala. I hate Andre Iguodala. At least Steph Curry is a great player. At least Steph Curry is a superstar. He's an arrogant little shit, but he's a superstar. And he does things. Andre Iguodala is a fucking role player, and he pumps his fucking fake biceps and his bicep implants. You know what, Andre? Fuck you. You're an arrogant piece of shit. I fucking hate you. So go ahead and go fuck yourself, you little bitch. And all your fucking blowout biceps. I fucking hate you. Okay, if it isn't obvious by now that this is a Christian podcast, we do not condone swearing, we do not condone threats, we don't condone anything that Jesus wouldn't do. So please, if you're going to swear, don't come on this podcast, all right? All right, if you're listening to this, if you've ever sworn in your entire life, I don't want you listening to this podcast, because I can feel your evil and your sins seeping through my computer screen right now and infecting me and poisoning me. And thankfully, I have Jesus on my side, but that's as far as I'm going to go. The other thing that nobody can ever forget is that Cardi B is a rapist. And I'm going to keep saying that over and over again because the media sure as hell isn't talking about it. But Cardi B is a rapist. She admitted to drugging, raping, and robbing men when she was a stripper. And she still is a stripper, basically. But she's ugly. She looks like a chihuahua. She has no talent. Her voice is like nails on a chalkboard. She's a fucking disgrace. I absolutely despise her. She needs to be canceled. All right? I hate her. I hate her, and she's a rapist. She's a self-admitted rapist. All right? So that's all I got to say about that. You cannot forget about that part, folks. Remember to stay classy and respect the troops.